Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, if you're, I don't know if you'd call it brave enough or silly enough. I could use a stronger word there, but to pay attention to the news these days. Amen. But you know, I was just looking at some things today, and there's a song that we sing when I'm in Kenya, and it kind of grows on you, you know, as you. But the translation of it literally is, it's things are fine. Things are fine. Mambo sawa sawa. Things are fine. It doesn't matter what it is. No matter what's going on. Things are fine. Why? Because God is more than fine. Hallelujah. He's the finest of the finer. Hallelujah. He's the healer of the healed. He's the filler of the filled. Glory to God. He's the savior of the saved. He's the redeemer of the redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no telling. There's no telling. We just don't have words to say all that He is. I believe it's going to take all of eternity. All of eternity just to know all that He is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, sometimes you just need to praise God. Just praise God. Why? It's going to be fine. Hallelujah. We got another song they sing over there. It says, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. All the promises of God are yes and amen. There's no situation, no circumstance, no symptom that can say no to the promise of God, can say no to what God said. All of His promises are yes and amen. To you, not just to a chosen few, but to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I don't know how this is all going to fit with my subject tonight. But I don't know, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you got your Bible, turn over to Proverbs chapter 20. You know, as Pastor has said many times on Wednesday night, and what an honor, just let me state again, what an honor it is to any time to preach at this church, but to preach on a time when he generally is here. He's out of town now, but to be in this pulpit at that time, and it's always an honor. But on Wednesday nights, he tries to talk about things that are applicable in every area of life. And tonight I want to talk about, I think, a very important subject and something that I think is very rare in our society today. I want to talk tonight about the power of biblical integrity. The power of biblical integrity. You know, Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 7 says this in the King James Bible. The just man walketh in his integrity, or walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Walking. When the Bible talks about walking, he's talking about living life according to integrity. Integrity is an unwavering commitment to truth. And in the concept of truth from the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, but then also in an unwavering commitment to righteousness. And it is a consistency between what we believe and what we do. There's a consistency to it. It's not just, yeah, I believe this. It's, I actually do this. I live this. Now, you realize this world, its system is a world of compromise. It's a world of compromise. I know I heard here coming up, it'll be June here in a few, just, you know, here next on Sunday, it'll be June 1st. June 30th, 1980, I was between my freshman and sophomore year in college, and I had been up in Lawrence, Kansas, working at a this was the second time I'd done it after my first year in high school, after I graduated high school. But then this was working at Ted Owens' basketball camp there at the University of Kansas. Been up there for 2 weeks. And when I got home, my father handed me a book called The New Birth. Any of you ever read The New Birth? And, you know, I read that book, and, you know, it was interesting. I thank God for, you know, what no one really ever told me not to believe. I had grown up in a church. We said the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, you know, every Sunday. And it was all talked about Jesus and, you know, he crucified, dead and buried, you know, and all those things. And so there wasn't really anything in there, except I never had heard anybody say to confess Jesus as your Lord and to take that step. So June 30th was a Monday night, and my parents had started going to this Bible study that was people from all different denominational churches there in town, Presbyterians, Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, and they'd all gotten Spirit-filled. And so that they sang a few songs, you know, and they said, anybody have anything to say? And I don't know why, because I'm new my first time, but just I had to get it out. I said, I just want everybody to know that I believe God raised Jesus from the dead, and I just declare Jesus is Lord, my Lord. And I knew immediately something happened to me. Something happened to me. And then, you know, that's why I learned this, you know, from experience, but I tell people this now. Don't ever base your doctrine on experiences. Base it on the Word of God. Because there are experiences in God that are great, and they're 100% God. But you can't base doctrine. Doctrine, I mean, is something that's the truth. You have to do it this way all the time. And this is, but, and so this, there was a lady there who was from the, she and her husband, and him, they'd come up to the United States from the Philippines. And she had a ministry as a lay person. She was out of the Catholic Church and gotten Spirit-filled. In fact, she spent so much time after she got Spirit-filled going around her house praying in tongues that they were going to put her in a mental institution, her family. But then her husband got Spirit-filled, and that was the end of that. But she had a ministry of getting people baptized in the Holy Ghost. And just, she walked up to me and said, I'll hold your hand and you'll speak in tongues. Well, I'd never heard about speaking in tongues. That was all the teaching I got on it. She held my hand, I spoke in tongues. Now, how many of you know I can't make my experience doctrine? I can't say, I'd have to take her everywhere I went, you know, if I want to get somebody Spirit-filled. Let her hold your hand. Amen. But I remember back early in those early days, 1980 and then on, I heard this statement made by many ministers. Whatever you compromise to get, you'll ultimately lose. See, integrity is the opposite of compromise. Integrity is faithfulness. It sets believers apart from the rest of the world. And there are many promises in the Word of God that say that those who walk in their integrity and walk in faithfulness and walk in truth and righteousness will receive the blessings of God and the favor of God upon their life. This same verse in the New Living Translation said, "The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them." You know, you got to be people of your word. People of, especially with your children. You can't tell them one thing and do another. You've got to swear to your own hurt. I know, just we had an experience with that. It hurt, but we had to fulfill our word in a situation. When I say it hurt, it didn't cause pain. You know, I've been driving an old raggedy car for a long time, and I had made a promise to one of my children that if they did such and such, that we'd get them a new car. Well, that was 4 years ago, and they did. So guess what? We had to buy a new car. I didn't drive it. Amanda didn't drive it. Amen. But I'd rather drive an old raggedy car. And like Pastor Bill said, there ain't no ride like a paid-off ride. I mean, I'm telling you, sometimes it's just... And be a person of my word and keep my word. Amen. But you know, People are not going to remember necessarily every word you say, but they are going to remember your character. Integrity is the foundation of trustworthy relationships. And legacy is built through consistent integrity. You know, Daniel, his integrity caused kings to trust him. Empire shifting all around him. Look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. You know, sometimes people, for whatever reason, and if you realize if anybody decides to be your enemy, it's because the devil. I didn't say they were the devil. I said they're being influenced by the devil. Whether they realize or not, they're yielding to the devil. Now, thank God we have authority over the devil. Learn to deal with that spirit that's behind, because that's behind that person, because that's your real enemy. Here in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Now, Daniel's doing that. Now, listen to me. Daniel's doing that not knowing that there's a lion's den in his future. But you and I want deliverance from the lion's den? Are we living in the integrity that Daniel had? You know, sometimes we miss that in the Word of God. To get what they got, we got to do what they did. You know, people talk about, well, I want to be able to do this. I want to do that. Well, do what that person did. You know, Brother Hagin used to tell us as students, he said, now listen, he said, it's taken me all these years to learn these things. I'm giving you the benefit of all my years of experience. It shouldn't take you that long to learn these things. He said, and then he said, you ought to go out there and do more than I've ever done. He said, if you don't, I'm going to run out there and grab a hold of you and kick you in the seat of the pants and tell you to get going. Amen? Integrity. Look at Psalm 5. Psalm 5. This is why we shouted before we preached. Now, integrity, we're not just talking about, you know, in church, but that'd be a good thing, to have integrity in the church. But we're talking about integrity in every area of life. Amen. Psalm 5, verse 12 says, this is the King James, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Now, like the Amplified, it's the classic version. Now, listen to this. "For you, Lord, will bless," now notice that, look at the screen there, "the uncompromisingly righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with you." Now, we know we're the righteousness of God in Christ, right? It's because of Jesus that we're right with God. But how many of you know also there is a right way to live and a right way to do things? He calls it here, uncompromisingly righteous. That's integrity, folks. He said, "You will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor." There is a shield of favor, God's grace, available to us as the righteousness of God. So think of it this way. Integrity is never a weakness. Integrity is a pathway to the supernatural provision and protection of God. Now, he's gonna do certain things for us just because we're his children. But there is a correlation of giving God our best and doing what we're supposed to do that positions us to receive the best of God. Now, I know people don't like that, because then they think, you know, you're not talking, then you're doing away with grace. You understand, when I do what God told me to do, I'm operating in his grace. I'm not trying to make up my own way and doing that. I'm just doing what God said to do. All right? You know, one of the greatest examples of this is Joseph. Look back in Genesis chapter 39. You know, here he is. He's had this supernatural dream, you know, from God. Told it to his brothers. They didn't like it. Don't be surprised when God gives you a dream that some folks won't be excited about it. His brothers sold him as a slave, and he ends up there in the household of Potiphar. In verse number 4 of chapter 39, it says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight." Now he's a slave here. Now notice, he found grace in his sight and served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now we didn't read in verse 3, it says that God, the Lord, had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. He's operating in the grace of God. Now, I want you to notice, when he operated in the grace of God, in the favor of God, because he was a man of integrity, that Potiphar's house, or we could say it this way, that place you work, it was blessed. And the favor of God was upon it. That place where you're working right now ought to be more blessed because you're there. And we realize not because you, but it's because of the God in you. And you know, you don't ever have to preach to anybody. Amen? Now, you know, the rest of Potiphar's wife throws herself at Joseph. And he fled out of the house. I like Dr. Ed Cole in his book, The Potential Principle. And talking about Joseph, he said, everybody needs a Joseph plan. At what point are you going to run from that? Right? Well, just as soon as she reached out and touched her, he took off. Unfortunately, he left his cloak there. She falsely accused him. He gets thrown in jail. But that didn't stop him because he's a man of integrity. Look down in verse 21, into this chapter 39. Look what happened to him, this man of integrity. See, he said he wouldn't sin against his master. He wouldn't fall for Potiphar's wife's advances towards him. He had integrity. Verse 21 said, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whenever they did there, he was the doer of it. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Amen. Now, how many of you know this? God is not extending this type of favor and blessing to those who are compromising. Now, it may look temporarily like you made a gain. Amen. But the only true way to blessing and favor is to be a person of integrity. Integrity maintains a clear conscience and produces inner peace. Look at Acts 24 with me, please. Integrity in every area of our life. You remember Jesus made statements such as, "He who is faithful in little shall be made ruler over much." Faithful in little. "He who is faithful in another man's will be faithful, will be blessed with more." And then Paul said, "It is required of a steward." That's somebody who's doing something with someone else's belongings for that person, but they're in control of it. Said, "It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful." How many of you know we are stewards of the manifold grace of God, 1 Peter 4 says. The gifts that we have, the abilities that we have, those divine endowments from God, the impartations of His grace that enable us to do what we could not do in and of ourselves, are not our possession. We are stewards of them. And it is required, Paul said, that a man be found faithful. Now here in Acts 24, look at verse 16. Look what Paul said here. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. A conscience. That's your inner voice. That's the inner man that talks to you. Having this clear conscience, acting in integrity, strengthens not only our relationship with God, but with others. You know, I can remember it with my grandfather, but it really, when we moved to Kentucky in 1993, and were part of a family worship center there, the pastor's father was known, you know, he was a strong man, you know, and he still had some big stock horses that he would go out every once in a while just for fun and plow behind those two big, you know, they're like Clydesdales, you know what I'm saying? Big old horses, big stock horses like that. And he'd call you on the phone. He would never say who he was, and he never said goodbye. He'd just call you, hang up the phone. And the reason he was that way was not because he was unkind. He was just a man of his word. There was one time he called me and said, hey, we were having something at the church. He said, so-and-so, I got a hold of so-and-so, made arrangements, get a hold of him. Tell him Charlie, his name is Charlie, tell him Charlie told you to call him, blah, 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 and he'll take care of it. So I found this out. I could do business on his name. I'm not even related to him. There was a little general store up in this town where we'd banked every Monday every Monday morning. I'd reconcile all the offerings and all that, drive it up, you know, about 13 miles away up, you know, south, but in the hills of Kentucky to this little bank. The pastor wanted to bank there because he'd known those people all of his life, and he knew they wouldn't tell anybody his business. But there was a little general store, Trusty's General Store, across the street. And you could go in there, and there wasn't anything you couldn't get at Trusty's. You needed some fence, you needed some staples, nails. You wanted a bowl of chili, you wanted a deli sandwich. You go in there. But Charlie had an account. And they would let me charge lunch on his account. Now, I always paid Charlie, but I could just go in and say, put this on Charlie's account. And they'd write it down. See, why? Because he had integrity. People knew that if he gave his word. And you know, he lived with a clear conscience because of that. There's no guilt. There's no heavy burden that integrity won't set you free from. Isaiah 32, verse 17. Turn over there. Amen. See, one of the reasons that this is important is we need to understand that, you know, God is a God of integrity. How many of you know he keeps his word? You know, Joshua, there's not one good thing that's failed of all the promises of God. He said, not one. Psalm said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging for bread. Why? Because God is a God of integrity. Well, you know, we've learned this. This ministry has taught us, and because it's in the Word of God, that we can speak words of faith and expect them to be obeyed. We have authority. We can speak, and the devil has to obey us. But if we're not a person of integrity, it's like, you know, how many of you have ever heard the story about the little boy who cried wolf? He cried it so many times when there wasn't a wolf that when the wolf came, nobody came because you couldn't believe him. Man, that first few times, they showed up armed to the hilt. They were ready to go. I wonder if our angels are like that sometime. You speak the word, oh, they're going. But you don't act on what you said. You don't do what you said. I better move off that. Look at the song, Isaiah 32, look at verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Listen to the Message Bible here. And where there's right, there'll be peace, and the progeny of right, in other words, the result, the fruit of right, quiet lives and endless trust. How many of you know that Paul said that, you know, we're supposed to be praying, giving thanks and making supplication for all men, and then that for leaders, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. You know what we need to be praying for our leaders? Integrity. Because integrity produces quiet and peace. Amen. You see, we need men and women who just don't say what I want to hear to get elected. What they say, they're going to do. But that's not how society, the world system, you realize the devil's a liar. But we're told to pray for that. Quiet lives and endless trust. So peace is the reward of righteous, uncompromisingly righteous living, integrity. Integrity reflects the character of Christ and advances the gospel. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 about sending that offering that they had a year ago had said they were going to send, but they never had, he said, let's complete the doing of it. But he made a statement in 2 Corinthians 8:21 that I want to read. It says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Providing for honest things. You know, I've been some places in the world, and unfortunately, you know, and you go to do something, they say, well, no, don't, you know, this or that. I got to tell them this so I can get what I want. That's just always something. It's like a knife sticking in me whenever they do that. It's like there's something about that that's not going to, it's not going to work long term. See, our lives are living epistles. What people see in us should reflect the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need integrity in business, in speech, in relationships, and of course, ministry. Because those kind of things are going to draw people to Jesus. How'd you learn to be that way? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. He's got the most integrity of anybody. I mean, he had so much integrity. When they came to him, and that one man came to him and said, good teacher, he stopped and said, whoa, why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's my Father which is in heaven. See, he's not trying to be humble. He is humble. And in his integrity, he gave all the glory to God. He said, the Father in me, he does the work. See, that's integrity. Hypocrisy hinders the gospel, but integrity confirms the gospel. Think of this. Your life might be the only sermon someone ever hears. Finally, integrity endures testing and produces lasting promotion. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. The King James Bible says, he that walks uprightly walks surely, but he that perverts his ways shall be known. Somebody said this, integrity is what you do when no one's watching. It reveals our true character. Now remember, you know, as we talk about these things, if you're not there, you're not there, but you can work on it. Right? You can make a decision right now. Integrity is not an option for me any longer. It is essential. You know, David spared Saul's life at least twice and waited for God's timing to claim the throne that he'd been anointed to sit on. Why? He was a man of integrity, even though he made mistakes. I mean, he committed adultery, he committed murder. We need to determined today to be the same person in private that we are in public. So we come to the end of our time here. I want to end with some challenges tonight. Are there areas where compromise has crept in? These are questions only you can answer with the help of the Lord. Are there areas where compromise has crept in? Will you commit to walking in integrity before God? I think this is so important. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would, please. Nobody looking around, please. Even our ushers, nobody's going to respond and come up here for this. But if you want to say, Holy, if you want to say tonight, pray for me. I want the Holy Spirit to help me, to strengthen me and convict me as I embark on a greater journey of integrity. Just raise your hand right now where you are. I'm going to pray for you. Father, you see hands all over this congregation. Father, thank you that you are a God of integrity. In fact, integrity is of you. You're a God of truth, God of faithfulness. And so tonight, Father God, I pray for each of these. Father, we want to be an example. We want to preach the gospel with our very life. Father, help us to be men and women of our word. Holy Spirit, reveal to us when we speak out and we don't speak the truth. And show us, Father God, when we've given our word but we failed to follow through, and help us to follow through. Father, we repent and ask for forgiveness. We know that you'll restore us to that place where we can do exactly what we said, so we can be people and be known as people of our word. Thank you, Father. Help us, Father God, to be slow to speak and quick to hear. Hallelujah. Father, we do pray right now for all men. We pray for all people on this earth, Lord God. And we do pray for our leaders. Father, we pray for that these men and women would be, who are in leadership in any area, would be men and women of integrity. That their word, that they'd learn to speak your word and do your word. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's all stand on our feet tonight, if you would, please. Integrity, it's a very, very important subject. Something that, you know, is something that we continually be good to check ourselves, check up on ourselves, you know. And let me suggest this. Be an expert on our, on your own integrity, not on someone else's. Okay? Don't be the integrity police unless you're policing yourself. Make allowances for others. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let it be said about us that, like we sang about the Lord, I trust the Lord. I trust Him. Amen. If you need prayer tonight for anything else, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, our men over here to your right, ladies to your left, come on down, and men to the men, ladies to the ladies, pray with them. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God. We know that God hears and answers prayer. God is a doer of His Word. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did for someone before, He'll do for you tonight. So come on down and pray with them if you need prayer. We good? Everything's good? Sunday morning, June 1st. Amen? June 1st, Communion Sunday should be, if I'm not mistaken. So God bless you. We'll see you then. Don't forget School of the Bible Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. God bless you. Have a great rest of the week.